Hi, and welcome to Cryptobiography. I'm your host, Brandon Starr. This is episode 358 of Cryptobiography, and we're back to the free censor, and this is part five of the free censor. And here we go. Tom did just that. He arrived early and was greeted, even before entering the office building, with a man holding a sign. It simply said, Tom. He was slightly inclined to feel irritated that the sign had not included his rank or a new title. But then he figured that his new position was probably secret, and so they were not advertising any information to the public. He went up to the man. He was tall, lean, and black, with short cropped hair. He wore formal clothing that seemed to both say and not say that it was a uniform. Yes? Tom asked. I'm Benjamin Five, the man said, in a clear baritone that Tom only wished he had. The location of your new position is secret to anyone below rank 10. You will eventually be raised up to level 3 if you succeed in your duties. For now, I will bring you there. In the evenings, I will bring you back home, or wherever you prefer to go. Okay then, Tom said. Benjamin Five waved at a nearby car. Well, more of a vehicle. It had doors where you might expect doors, but there were no windows, except up front. He got in and saw that the entire passenger area was completely closed off to the outside world. He could not even see forward into the driver's area. Benjamin smiled and closed the door. It was strangely like being seated in a closet. He put the seatbelt on, and shortly after, the vehicle took off. There was a screen which Tom could presumably watch the allowed shows and news items, but they did not interest him. Part of him wanted to figure out roughly where the vehicle was taking him. He tried to notice all the turns and swerves along the way, but soon enough he was certain that he could no longer tell even which way the car was traveling, much less how fast or where it had gone. There were a few times where it made different bumps and other noises. He supposed they were going over tracks. Perhaps a good map might eventually let him know where he was going based on tracks passed over. But really, it didn't matter. He was too curious to see what the new job held. It was only about 20 minutes later that Tom felt the car stop, and then the engine quit. Benjamin Five opened the door. They were in a windowless garage with the door shut. There was a door on the side of the garage away from the vehicle door. Through there, Benjamin said. Tom walked, looked behind him, but Benjamin merely nodded once, a bit curtly. Tom saw a relaxation area on the other side of the garage. Apparently Benjamin's duty would be to wait for Tom to be finished for the day and then bring him home. Perhaps this also meant he was acting like a prison guard, not allowing Tom to leave. He went through the door. Inside was a small room. There were no books here, but there was a table and one chair, a refrigerator, a sink, and a couple of doors. There was a pamphlet on the table saying, Welcome. Before checking it out, Tom opened one door. It opened on a small bathroom, which included a shower, as well as the more expected toilet and sink. There were even towels. He opened the refrigerator. It was stocked with many kinds of food. The sink had some cupboards built in above it. He opened them and found some dishes and silverware, as well as some dry foods. He then opened the final door, the one that was opposite the door that led back to the garage. It opened on an immense room, like a hangar. In it were rows and rows of bookshelves, books of all kinds, large books and small books, great thick books with thousands of pages, others that were just bound pamphlets. Some titles he recognized as he walked down random shelves. He'd never read them before, of course, but something of their legends had continued on. Gulliver's Travels, collected works of Shakespeare, Invisible Man, Ulysses, and many more. There was a small computer console near the door to the kitchen. It contained a strange computer, antiquated-looking, and it took him a while to figure out what made it particularly unusual, even after he sat down at it and tried a few keystrokes. It wasn't connected to anything. It was self-contained. Someone needed to have a record of all these tens of thousands of books, but not to ever have the information in this computer spread. Ever. Impressed? Tom started. John, too, was in the doorway. Even I'm not allowed inside. Why don't you come back to this room and we can discuss what's involved? Tom did so. Those are the works that are not allowed, John said as they sat down. Some are more famous than others. The computer will help you figure out what you should know first and best. Simply put, there are a lot of copies of most of those works out in the world. All are illegal. Most are hidden from us. Some are simply lost and are sometimes found again. And a lot, despite the years and our best efforts, still pervades the public consciousness. Even if the original works are no longer being read, the ideas survive, a cancer, a canker, damaging our society. You will learn these works and then find where people are still hiding these ideas in current writings. This will allow us to stop it, finally. Or at least, prevent more damage from them. And that's the end of the story for this week. Obviously, we've got a bit more to go. If you have any comments or questions about this episode or previous episodes, cryptobiography@gmail.com or hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, I guess X, or Mastodon. And thanks for listening. Words and Music, copyright 2024. Brandon Starr, all rights reserved. Characters and events are fictional, fictionalized, or satirical.